Okay, everybody, hello, and thank you, Michael, for getting us on track here. I was just on a little hunt, and that hunt was to determine whether our solar logos would be taking his fourth or his fifth cosmic initiation in this solar system. And it turns out that both may be true, depending on how well he does. Just the way sometimes we may take an initiation in a particular incarnation, or we may miss the opportunity and will have to defer it until the next incarnation. These great Mahamanvantaras, or sometimes he just calls them Manvantaras, are in fact like incarnations. And we are in the fifth at the moment, the fifth or the second, depending on how we count. Well, welcome everybody. I'd just like to say hi to you. And we actually have quite a bit of, you know, work to do. And here you seem to be. So as always, thank you, Michael. And Tuya is with us. And hello, Anne and Annette and Anthony and Catherine and Chris and Heike, Ishtar and Juhi, Karen and Kim, Leslie and Margot and Martine. Let's see if I have this right. Manish also just joined us. And Martine, Risto and Zenaide. So welcome to all of you as we pour over this sort of introductory section of a treatise on cosmic fire in depth. We've been, you know, to condense it all, we've been here looking at the ray of intelligent activity, which has included that very demanding footnote, you know, basically with all these different figures in it. And we've spent some time looking at the a tremendous span of time, at least relative to our span. We're kind of like a, you know, like a June bug. We live for one day. We live for just a little blip in our present incarnation. Incarnational form, especially when compared with those huge cycles. And the next work we're doing here is on the ray of intelligent love. Notice how the word intelligent is sustained through all three of these: intelligent activity, intelligent love, intelligent will. I would almost say for the will solar system, the ray of intelligent, loving will. And that would give us that sense of accumulation, which always comes when we move from one completed cycle to another. For instance, let's just say that you have a strong Aquarius in your chart, and at first you are dealing with the exoteric ruler Uranus on the exoteric level. But then when you move to Jupiter, which is esoteric, you don't abandon the foundation. You are under the influence of Uranus plus Jupiter. And then when you move to the hierarchical ruler, you take you take Uranus and Jupiter along into the veiled planets veiled by the moon. So everything is cumulative. You don't just drop them away. They stay with you. And this word intelligent is one of those words that is staying with us. Now, so this is the ray of intelligent love. And of course, that's largely our task at this time on this second ray, third ray planet. Our first ray monad is a little bit out of the picture because we are not yet a sacred planet. We are, in fact, a non-sacred planet, and the monadic ray, although detectable, is occultly non-effective, something to that effect. So it's largely combining love of the soul, the secondary soul of our planetary logos, with its third ray, intelligent personality, intelligent love. And thus it is for every one of us, generically, the soul is on the second ray, and generically, the personality is on the third ray. Whatever your rays may be, the category is basically the second ray for the soul and the third ray for the personality, and they have to be combined. So our big task, and it's a hard task because it's hard to put the third ray and the second ray together. They're really very different. And, you know, I think we're discovering that on our planet now, when many people individualized on the moon chain, or having participated in the moon chain and thereby characterized by a lot of the third ray, have been moved, transported, brought into further developmental possibility in this fourth chain, which has a powerful second ray. And the difficulty between these two groups is considerable. So it has to be, you know, worked out, and maybe Gemini is one of those signs in which the second and third ray can be worked out together rather harmoniously. Maybe Virgo too. For Gemini, it does conduct the second ray, but it's the third sign. For Virgo, it conducts a great amount of the second ray, or transmits, whatever word we want to use, to the individual man developing the individual Christ. But it was very strong in terms of the matter aspect in the previous solar system, which previous major solar system, which demonstrated a strong third ray expression. So, you know, those two signs particularly have a lot of capacity to blend the second and third ray. And if we come closer to doing that, we will be fulfilling a soul objective. So, we're talking, we're still, as we study this, we are within Agni. Now, Agni is considered to be, at least in one of its categories, because you can take these terms and lower them and raise them, it's considered to be the personality nature of the solar logos. And so Agni will consist of 18 cosmic subplanes. It will consist of 7 cosmic subplanes on the cosmic physical, etheric physical, 7 on the cosmic astral, and 4 on the cosmic mental. So we are still very much within the realm of the personality of the Soto Logos. How could we even think of going higher? You know, when the Christ had his cosmic touch, which confirmed in him the sixth initiation, he had touched a point on the cosmic astral plane, which was still within the personality of the Soto Logos. And we don't know about the Buddha, maybe the same. I'm going to look at this, you know, and say the Christ touched the cosmic astral plane. He had a cosmic touch. And the Buddha, let's just assume that the cosmic mental plane is divided in a similar way to the systemic mental plane down here. Let us assume for the moment that the Buddha touched something on the cosmic mental plane when he achieved his sixth initiation. It doesn't tell us, did he go above the dotted line? Here is the dotted line expressed on the systemic mental plane. And nothing is expressed up here on the cosmic mental, but still we do not judge it to be a completely unified plane because the causal, the solar logos too has a solar angel and a causal body. And that would tell us probably that there is still a division for him. The solar logos is not, our solar logos is not yet cosmically mentally focused. So when the Buddha achieved the sixth initiation, as remarkable as it seems, he was up here. Well, you know, up, what does up mean? But he had some kind of frequency which took him to the cosmic mental plane, but probably, if I were to hazard a guess at this point, I would say it was the lower part of the cosmic mental plane and still within the realm of Agni. And Agni is all of this and all of this and four subplanes here, which are, you know, so secret in a way that obviously he's not going to really give us any kind of detail the way he does down here. It will be completely useless to us. It's the realm of speculation for the masters, really. Okay. So the ray of intelligent love, and he is working towards mental polarization, and will maybe, if the analogy holds good, he will achieve that between his second cosmic initiation and his third cosmic initiation. Now, he is a cosmic initiate of the second degree, and so the possibility of our solar system turning more cosmically mental, I think they would think that people like ourselves studying this subject are cosmically mental. Anyway, we're studying it, and the solar logos is moving towards cosmic mental polarization in that he is imitating Sirius, who has achieved it. And we've just been through this Sirius festival, Sirius Leo festival. So cosmic mental polarization is on the way, and when that happens, I do believe our solar logos will begin to become more of a sacred solar logos, which he is not yet. He, she, I mean, really, it probably in a way should be called she, because we have such a very Buddhic solar system. With 140 billion Davic units and 60 billion human units. And there's a bit of a mystery there, but and I don't think it can be solved, you know, about how many billions of units exist on the inside and the outside of our planet. there's a problem when you put some information together that 6/7 of the units, the incarnated units, are, well, they're out of incarnation, and only 1/7 are considered to be in incarnation. So some number problems arise, but, you know, we'll just have to stash them somewhere and say, you know, to be solved at a later date. So often he seems to tell us that our particular solar logos, and maybe in a feminine incarnation, I'm not sure. Certainly it is a feminine solar system, and very astral in its nature, that our solar logos is simply has not yet measured up to the potential of this, of the third cosmic initiation. You know, we have some analogies going there. We might say, as the star Sirius is to our solar logos, or the logos of Sirius is to our solar logos, so Venus, the logos of Venus is to our planetary logos, so the solar angel, our soul, is to our personality. I think that kind of analogy would be suggestive. Now, excuse me, this ray of intelligent love, it says, this is the ray which embodies the highest vibration of which our solar logos or deity is capable in this present solar system. Now, we have to remember that the primordial ray is the third ray. It was very powerful in the previous major solar system, and the solar logos took that primordial ray with him, as it were, as a fundamental vibration. And in the earlier part of our solar system, the third ray predominated. But its vibration is not as high as the vibration of the ray of intelligent love. So I'm going to say here that the vibration of the ray of intelligence is not as rapid or as high as the ray of intelligent love, which basically is going to be your second ray. So we haven't reached that high point yet in our solar system. There's still a higher vibration to be achieved. So we're told that the primordial ray is foundational, and it has to be overcome. It has to be rendered a sub-ray of the great second ray, and it really isn't yet. And when we look at humanity in analogy, we would say maybe the same thing. Humanity is functioning quite strongly on its personality ray, and not on its soul ray, or at least the generic personality on the third ray is functioning more strongly. We did a little bit of work on the glamour this morning, and we discovered that in the age of Pisces, the personality ray of humanity was, and maybe still is, the third So, you know, has that really been overcome yet by the second ray? And if we look around us and all the things that are happening in terms of human friction and selfishness and non-sharing and war and all the rest, we'd have to say no. But the second ray and the fifth ray, they get along actually quite well. I didn't really mention that today, but those are the two rays of the solar angel, the second and the fifth. And their blending on the note of truth is very, very strong. And on the note of light, if I can say so. The fifth ray lord is the most luminous of all the ray lords, and the second ray soul type of human being is the most luminous type of soul. So somehow on the level of luminosity, the second and the fifth ray blend, and that's a very good augury for the coming age of Aquarius, which will be, I think, very much an age of increasing light, and especially an appreciation for subtle forms of light that are found on the inner planes. Well, that's just a little aside. Basically, he's saying that the second ray has not yet reached its highest vibration, its peak. It's not yet vibrating adequately, nor has it attained the peak of its activity. Well, you know, I think we can understand that just from an analogy based upon our own life. Until we've taken the third initiation, the soul is not the major stockholder. You know, the soul becomes dominant. There's the dominant again in music. The soul becomes 3/2 at the initiation of transfiguration. And before that, we can say that the personality has the upper hand, and that its ancient authority is still in expression. But at the third initiation, that ancient authority is overcome. And that is a very important point. And that is the point when musically the dominant begins to really sound. This dominant note, which is 5 notes from the tonic, the basic fundamental note, you might say the fundamental note of matter, is a note which determines the soul expression of a solar system. So basically, if I was to put this in musical terms, the green subdominant, the note F, is still sounding very strongly. But when the second ray has attained its peak of activity, then the blue note, which is called the dominant, not the subdominant, but the dominant, will start sounding in equal measure and stronger yet. And then the personality ray, generically, of the solar logos will become a subsidiary to the dominant note, which is blue. Now, in our particular solar system, the personality is actually ray 2. We already have a second ray soul and a second ray personality, but there's such a hangover from the previous solar system on the fa, on the note fa, you know, the sort of here comes the bride interval, you know. Bum-bum-ba-dum, that's the note fa, that's the green note. And we're looking for the dominant, which is dum-da-da-da-da-da-da-dum. And the contest is between those two notes, between the green and the blue. And sometimes, interestingly enough, when you're looking at the sign Virgo, you get kind of a blue-green color. And that blue-green tells us of Virgo's connection with matter in the previous solar system that exemplified ray 3, and now its connection with soul, consciousness, and love, exemplifying, expressing ray 2. So, you know, the blue-green is one way of looking at Virgo. And it has switched considerably from its earlier emphasis. Now, that's a whole mystery in a way, you know. All of these signs of the zodiac, these constellations, they have all the rays, but they send to particular planets a particular combination of rays. Or let's say that the planet is sensitive to a particular combination of rays from the constellation. So ray 3 is the past and ray 2 is the present when it comes to considering Virgo. And, you know, we don't know all those things from the previous solar system, but we could probably make some speculation. So we haven't reached, here's the point. We have not reached the acme yet, the peak of ray 2 expression. And when will we do that? Well, I would say it all depends on what initiations our solar logos is able to take in this very long period that we have studied of, if we give it credibility, 311,040,000,000,000 years. And I'll just put it like this. Will we achieve solar logoically in this second major system of the second ray? Will we achieve the fourth initiation, or will we achieve the fifth initiation? And that's what I was on a little hunt there before we opened up. So here are some references. And what will this peak be? Now, let's just say the beginning of a really effective presence of the second ray in our solar system will begin at the solar logoic transfiguration. When that will occur, you know, in what cycle, I don't think there's any way for us, you know, to even make an intelligent guess about that. But we do know that, or at least I've always felt it to be the case, and I think I found the references to back it up, that either the fourth or the fifth initiation of our solar logos will be taken in this Mahamanvantara, in this major, second major solar system. It depends on how well the planets themselves do. And I want to say it probably depends a lot on the progress made within the Earth scheme. In other words, the Earth planetary scheme is a very important one when it comes to deciding how far the solar logos can go. So, you know, the greater entity is somewhat conditioned by the state of the lesser entity. So here is a reference. Our solar logos himself the heart of his system, and also, by the way, the heart center of a great cosmic logos called the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, in my, you know, very cumbersome name. Who knows what it's really called? But it is a great heart center, and our solar logos is sort of the central life, or maybe the heart, of our present solar system. So our solar logos himself, the heart of his system, is on the cosmic astral plane. He is polarized there. You know, just the way a human being in the Atlantean period, you know, this is in a way the Atlantean period for our solar logos. He's polarized within this great sphere of true love. You know, if we want to know where real love comes from, we have to look for the cosmic astral plane and beyond, and not just on the cosmic physical plane. Just as the units of the fourth creative hierarchy, the human, are evolving through the use of physical bodies, but are polarized at this time in their astral vehicles, the great majority of human beings, so we have seen that the objective solar system forms the physical body of the Logos, though his polarity is on the astral body. Now, we wouldn't be able to say that about Sirius. For Sirius, his polarity would be on the cosmic mental body. And then I underline this, it is significant that in this greater Manvantara, remember that the term Manvantara is not specific. It signifies a general bounded period, but there can be lesser and greater, and sometimes the term is used in relation to the Mahamanvantara, and it's just called a Manvantara. Okay. It is significant that in this greater Manvantara, which is the duration of this fifth solar system, this second major solar system, the Logos, and by the way, when he says Logos and doesn't qualify it by a word like planetary, it usually means solar Logos. So anyway, the Logos is to take the fourth cosmic initiation. And we know that if we use the analogy, the heart center is the one, and the fourth ray is the ray. The heart center is tremendously stimulated at the fourth initiation, and the fourth ray is involved, and the four chambers of the heart, and all of that. So our system, as a system of love, is going to increase and increase and increase the measure of love as we move towards the higher initiatory potentials of our solar logos. So he also says, let's see, I'll read this next part. Then in a dual synthesis, they will pass on into the third system, that in which the power aspect is developed, and the head centers will be complete, you know, just the way in the third phase of our development, which is monadic, all the head centers are completed, if we use the analogy. This achieved, our logos has triumphed and measured up to the sixth cosmic initiation, just as he should measure up in this system to the fourth. Unfortunately, they leave the fifth out of it, but I discovered our friend the fifth down here. And maybe I'll make it a little bit bigger to see. So here's the thing. We don't know whether the fifth cosmic initiation of the solar logos will occur in this solar system or the next. A reference like this one, when the primordial ray of intelligent activity, the divine ray of intelligent love, and the third cosmic ray of intelligent will meet, blend, merge, and blaze forth, the Logos will take his fifth initiation, thus completing one of his cycles. Well, you know, a human being reaches the acme at the fifth initiation, and when you become a monad, it is said, they are no longer men, as are, of the Chohans of the sixth degree, they are no longer men as are the masters. So a new cycle comes for the solar Logos. But we don't know about this meeting of all the rays. And here is another reference from Cosmic Fire 605. We're in the fifth Mahamanvantara, or solar system, right now, which is the second major. And what does it say? The solar Logos achieves his fifth major initiation. There are a lot of little initiations for the human being, even before the great monastic initiations begin. The first of the great monastic initiations for a human being is the birth of the Christ in the heart. So even though we say, well, it's not a real initiation, it's an initiation of the threshold, it is considered major. And earlier, there are other lesser initiations which achieve for the man some kind of increasing group affiliation and some kind of lessening of selfishness. So the fifth major initiation in the fifth Mahamanvantara, which is this solar system, they go together. And so we have the statements that he should achieve the fourth, but we have this statement that he could achieve the fifth. In other words, solar systemic mastery in a cosmic sense could be occurring for our solar Logos. We don't know how far Sirius has gone. We know Sirius, a kind of local cosmic Christ, has definitely achieved the third cosmic degree. Has Sirius achieved the fourth, or is it working upon the fourth cosmic degree? Obviously, there's no way for us to really ascertain that particular fact. But we know that Sirius is ahead of our solar Logos, just like Venus is ahead of the Earth planetary Logos, and the solar angel coming from the previous solar system is ahead of modern man. They were men, they were human beings in the previous major solar system, and they are ahead of the modern human being. Now, some of those modern human beings may have been operating in the previous solar system. It's just that the ones that became solar angels were farther ahead and maybe more responsive to the planet Venus. Okay, let's see a little more here. Okay, so I'm recommending that you look at page 384 for the evolutionary status of our solar Logos. We've been told that he is emotionally polarized. He is to achieve the third and fourth cosmic initiations in this solar system. That's definite. He really should achieve the fourth initiation, which would be a solar logoic crucifixion. And what would be the implications for the system? It's hard to say. but a kind of crucifixion is being undergone on our planet right now. And we are told that our role is to suffer under it, as he tells us in just a short time. So this tells us that the fourth initiation of self-conscious entities is still partially under the ray of the soul. Because for our solar logos, the solar system is a system for soul development. And we have some parallels here with the logos of the earth, and the comparison below that I took from page 384 is a vital comparison. So we'll read it. There's a strong analogy between the solar logos's progress and that of our planetary logos. Now here, it's talking about the planetary logos, and then it says, and this is so of the solar logos too. Our planetary logos, he is in, I'm just trying to see how far I can go. Our planetary logos is in physical incarnation. Okay, so is the solar logos. Our planetary logos is midway through his career upon the path of initiation, and consequently will take the fourth initiation in this chain. Now that's a subsidiary initiation, that's not a great cosmic initiation. Our planetary logos is nowhere near yet the fourth cosmic initiation, but the fourth interchain initiation, he's there. Well may this globe, now this is us, therefore, be considered the globe of sorrow and of pain. For through it, our planetary logos is undergoing that which the mystic calls the crucifixion. So even though we have only taken one cosmic initiation on this planet, we are still undergoing a subsidiary crucifixion. And maybe when we get to the second cosmic initiation, we will have a fifth subsidiary and be able to be called a sacred planet. The sacredness is connected with the number five. It's just a question of how the number five operates. Venus is very sacred, and it has finished its major, major rounds in five rather than seven. So Venus is like the Christ on its own high level, a very fast evolver. Okay, now back to the planetary logos. The cells in his body, those cells through which he feels and senses and experiences, are in this world period rent by pain and suffering, torn, you know. That's when the veil of the temple was torn in two. When we look at the ancient sort of Son of God Christ myth. And theirs, the cells, his is the consciousness at the center of the body, and theirs, the cells, is the capacity to suffer. So that's the role that we are in. We have this capacity to suffer, so that by means of them, that's us, he may learn the meaning of systemic dispassion, be associated from all forms and material substance, and upon the cross of matter, eventually find liberation and the freedom of the spirit. So it's telling us that our planetary logos is still passionate. It is between the first and second initiations that a human being really learns a degree of dispassion. And that's where our planetary logos is in this system of lesser than cosmic initiations, learning dispassion. So that by the time the second cosmic initiation is taken by him, and probably the judgment day is upon him, there will be the achievement of dispassion. Our planetary logos is the divine rebel. He has a personality issue, and he is emotionally involved, emotionally polarized, we might say, physically, emotionally, really. So there is trouble on our planet, even on our little globe, because of the lack of development of our planetary logos. But development is proceeding. It should have gone as fast as Venus. It didn't. Now, here is the statement that allows you to analogize. And you know, when you're reading a book like Cosmic Fire, you really want to get your ability to analogize up to snuff. All this that has just been said, the same equally can be predicated of a solar logos with the following interesting sequence carefully borne in mind. Now, in other words, just the way our planetary logos works through the different chains, and right now is working through the fourth chain, ours, wherein it is taking a crucifixion subsidiary initiation. So the solar logos also has his great rounds. And it just so happens that in the solar logoic round, which is probably round number four right now, the solar logos is focusing on our whole planetary scheme as if it were a chain. See, so the planetary logos focuses for subsidiary initiations through chains, and the solar logos focuses for subsidiary initiations through schemes. That's the analogy, and the whole planetary scheme is like a chain when compared to the solar logos. And that would mean that the chains are like globes to the solar logos. So we just raise it a bit, you know, but we keep the basic structure. So here, you know, here is some interesting amplification of this. The solar logos has for objective 9 initiations. The third cosmic initiation being his immediate goal. Now, those 9 initiations, well, are they cosmic? Are they subsidiary? I think, you know, we'll have to leave the jury out on that. If the 9 initiations are cosmic, then it's, you know, far into the next solar system that anything like 9 initiations could be achieved. But also there is the possibility of subsidiary 9, and he would be working through the fourth subsidiary, which is a kind of crucifixion for our particular solar logos before he really becomes sacred and goes through the fifth subsidiary. So that has to be figured out. You know, it can be either one of those. Our planetary logos has for objective 7 initiations. Now, the second cosmic initiation, he specifies cosmic being his goal. And that's the one I'm talking about that probably connects with the judgment day and the ridding of members of the human race from the planet if their concrete mind is either undeveloped or overdeveloped, and that they go somewhere else within the planetary scheme or to another planet for a re-education or to rebalance their situation. Now, these 7 initiations, they may be cosmic eventually and take us into the next solar system, or they likely can be subsidiary. And we are going through a 4th of these 7 right here on our chain and onto our 4th globe, which makes the suffering so acute. Man has for objective 5 initiations, you know, mastership then would be the 5th, the first cosmic initiation of a different order being his goal. Now, in other words, the cosmic initiation of a solar logos is in a different type of cosmic series than the cosmic initiation of a planetary logos. And the cosmic initiation of a man is in a different series as well. So we have 3 different series. I think I better write it down.
Just 1 second here. I'm just going to have to grab hold of some purple bracket, you know, that will help me. Okay, so, right there. All right, it's going to give me trouble, so I'm just going to do it this way. Sorry for the delay. And there we go. So,
it's okay, Michael.
Are you sure? Okay. So there are 3 different series of cosmic initiations. Because, you know, these grand heavenly men who are the solar logoi, they're in a completely different category than the than a planetary logos. And the planetary logos is in a completely different category many Mahamanvantaras ago. He was the same as a master is now. So the cosmic initiation for a human being is mastership, but it's very different from the first cosmic initiation of a planetary logos. And the planetary logos's first cosmic initiation is very different, or, you know, less expansive than the first cosmic initiation of a solar logos, because they're simply in different categories and they're working through different dimensions. So anyway, our goal is the mastership. And we consider it to be a kind of first cosmic initiation, because we become an entered apprentice, as it were, for a cosmic center that is in relation to Sirius, which is considered a kind of cosmic Christ, a kind of cosmic Christ. So you can see that the DK writes in such a way that we really have to interpret, carefully what he's saying, but it's pretty obvious as well that there are subsidiary initiations and major cosmic initiations. And I suppose I'm remembering that even for the human being, somewhere between the first and second initiation, there are four other little initiations that have to do with fire, earth, air, and water. So there are these different stages of progress, which are not the full initiation, but lead to it. Okay. Let's see. It is the basis of the cyclic spiral movement of the body logoic. And just as the law of economy is the law governing the internal fires of the system, which are latent fire and radiatory fire, so the cosmic law of attraction and repulsion, you got to remember that second part, is the basic law of this divine ray, the great second ray, which actually does not create separation like the third ray does. You get into your own world, as it were, and you're guilty of the separateness that is usually ascribed to the third ray. But when we start dealing with the spiral movement as well as the cyclic movement, then we're making contact and the love aspect is emerging. Okay, so I wonder if there's anything else that I have here, maybe just a little bit. Just as the planetary logos is taking the fourth of seven initiations through our chain and globe, so the solar logos is taking the fourth of nine, and I want to write the word subsidiary initiations through our scheme and chain. Now, that's a really important statement. Of course, it's mine, it's not the Tibetans, but he hints at it. Subsidiary, okay. The solar logos has the third cosmic initiation as his goal, and the planetary logos, the second cosmic initiation of a planetary kind for his goal. The type of motion is here called cyclic spiral instead of spiral cyclic. Okay, such movement is characterized by the fact that it both rotates and drives forward. It's like an average. When you get rotating motion and you drive it forward on the first ray, you get the second ray, spiral cyclic or cyclic spiral. And without this driving forward through space, which is one of the names of the first ray motion, you don't get a spiral. So if driving forward is equated to rising, to ascent, then the vertical dimension is included in spiral cyclic motion. We go higher and higher, and we don't just keep repeating the same cycle. We repeat a kind of a higher analogy to the lower cycle. And the cycle can either expand, the spiral can expand, or it can contract with speed. So it just depends on whether we're talking about time or space. If the logoic body is experiencing cyclic spiral movement, it must necessarily be driving forward through space. And astronomers know that our solar system is headed in a certain direction with respect to some local stars. And I believe, at least at the present time, I believe that Vega, the star Vega, is the star towards which our solar system is driving forward. Okay, so I think we have covered enough here. You know, it has many implications. And just remember this one, that we are in the fifth Mahamanvantara, which is the second major solar system. And if we do it right on our Earth, then I believe the solar logos has a better chance of taking his fifth major or cosmic initiation. Why would that be? Well, you have to ask yourself, what chakra is it that particularly rules the fifth initiation? And you might say, well, it's the head center or something like that. That's only partially true. It's the base of the spine center that particularly is activated and rules the fifth initiation of man. Now, what is the Earth to our solar logos? And although there are many candidates for the base of the spine center, Earth is definitely the base of the spine center of the solar logos. So, developments on Earth make it possible for the base of the spine center to be sufficiently activated to assist in the bringing about of the fifth initiation of the great life at the center of it all. In the same way, we would have to have our base of the spine center in a state of high development to take the initiation of mastership, whether it was in a born body or a Maya Virupa, as you can have Maya Virupas generated at the fourth degree, but usually we wait until the fifth degree to generate the Maya Virupa. So I think you understand that the relationship between our planet and the solar logos is critical in determining whether the fifth major initiation can be taken in this fifth Mahamanvantara, or whether we have to wait until the next solar system, the sixth solar system, and then this particular statement would be relevant. When the primordial ray of intelligent activity, the divine ray of intelligent love, and the third cosmic ray of intelligent will, where are you going to get that? You know, maybe in the next solar system mostly, blend, merge, and blaze forth, the logos will take his fifth initiation, thus completing one of his cycles. So this hint suggests that the fifth initiation of the solar logos will be taken in the next solar system, but not necessarily, depending on how well the logos progresses and how well the Earth scheme and its logos progress. All right, then that is the end of our discussion right here. You know, just a little bit of text goes a long way, and of course I've naturally, in the attempt to reveal something of the synthesis which underlies all of these connections, I reach out to other parts of the book, and that of course takes a little bit of time as well. So this was the 14th of August, and we're on page 39. We're still on page 39. And this was the 26th program here, and the 22nd group program. And the next time we get together, we'll be on the 21st, and it will be an AM time. I know for some of you in America and in South America, it is, very early in the morning, except on the West Coast, and then it's possible that you can maybe join us. Okay. All right. So let's, your thoughts, your responses to this section on the ray of intelligent love, the fifth solar system, the second solar system, the third impending cosmic initiation, with the solar logos, and the present fourth initiation of a subsidiary kind of the solar logos, and the same for the Earth, the second impending cosmic initiation, not yet, Judgment Day probably, a long time ahead, and then the fourth subsidiary being acted out right here in our chain and right here on our globe, and we are the cells, and we are helping to contribute to the dispassion of our planetary logos, and a lesson which the solar logos has just been learning because of its cosmic astral polarization. But our planetary logos doesn't know that yet, on cosmic levels, of course. And, you know, so it's, in a way, it's preposterous to even talk about it, but because that being is very perfect compared to what we are, you know, relatively anyway. But still, cosmically considered, there's a lot of imperfection in our solar system and on our planet. Okay, so if you'd be so kind, Michael, then just let us know if there's anybody that would like to say something or write something or, you know, whatever.
We already have a couple of comments. Kim writes, how much of our personal issues are due to the fact we are a cell of the planetary logos, and therefore our stuff is his stuff, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think there's a pretty good analogy there. And we are, we will become graduates of the school of purifying pain and, there's an adjective that goes with suffering, something suffering and releasing sorrow and purifying pain. And so we kind of fractal-like, analogously take over the tendencies of the major life in which we are participating, just the way the cells in our body, you know, would be conditioned by the type of central life that we are. So it is, in a way, his stuff, and we are conditioned by it. But the element of free will exists, and so we can help to redirect our own tendencies in a way that will assist the planetary logos redirect his own, and vice versa. Obviously, we've got a great being there who is working at becoming cosmically dispassionate. And when that is the case, there's going to be an effect upon the cells. I remember reading here that that there is a transference going on from the planetary sacral that involves an activation of the solar plexus and a somewhat deactivation of the planetary sacral. And as a result of that, he says, and he gives a specific percentage, that sex crimes, according to a specific percentage, will decrease when the energy is elevated to the solar plexus and away from the planetary sacral center. So I think it's a two-way street, really. And obviously anything, any great initiation through which our planetary logos passes is going to be major for all of us as cells. And in the accumulation of a better cellular response among enough cells, there will be an effect for the planetary logos as well.
Next, Hayeki writes, I also always thought that our development helps and is part of the development of the planetary logos. We on the planet don't depend just on his development, but we are part of it actively. Maybe like our initiations can push him forward, like his initiations pull us along up.
Yeah.
As much as we work along, as far as I know, that's part of why we, or many of us, came here.
Well, you know, I think we probably, there's a few points here. We are monads that have somehow been projected into the life process of this particular planetary logos. Our planet of origin is probably one of the other planets, probably a sacred planet. And beyond that, the monad is that which has its home within the sun, we are told. So, you know, there's the development of the emanation called the monad is, I think, the main reason why we are on this particular planet or part of its life process. However, it is true that the self-conscious cells, see, because otherwise it's just an automaticism and you cannot direct yourself when you're not self-conscious. The self-conscious cells can create a positive feedback loop, which basically is a bit like Gemini, if you will. The higher self helps the lesser brother, but the lesser also has a feedback loop to the higher, and they both grow together. So it is our responsibility to assist the ashram and the ashram, the hierarchy, and the hierarchy, Shambhala, and Shambhala basically assisting the solar logos advance, or the planetary logos first and the solar logos. So there's a return loop, if you will, and we are responsible not only for our own elevation or fall, but we can make a difference in the timing of the sacredness of our planet. A whole kingdom of nature, like humanity, can make a big difference in the release of the planetary logos. So we do have a responsibility upward, as well as to ourselves, as well as downward to the lesser lives. We have responsibility in several directions. How do they say it? Something like upward, inward, outward, and downward. We have responsibilities along all those lines.
And Manish writes, how can one know his initiate level and ray type? How to develop non-developed ray type?
Well, I suppose the study of the rays, acute self-observation, and taking into consideration what other trusted observers say about you. So, you know, I've often thought it would be interesting to have ones to take the PIP test that we have been developing, lo, these many years. You know, Walter Pullen has given us the latest incarnation of the PIP test, to take that and then to give it to someone who lives with you, if someone does, or who knows you very well, and see what they say, and then compare the two results. You're liable to get a pretty good hypothesis. As for initiatory level, I think there's so much in DK's books that basically tells you the characteristics of initiates and transitional development toward an initiation, that a careful study of what he says and an honest self-appraisal will show you where you stand more or less. However, a direct contact with the master, which is the kind of thing that DK students had, those 50 of them roughly, is coming for more people, and he will be one of the externalizing masters. And although it's a subject which basically has to be kept to oneself, between oneself and the master, you'll get, if he considers it to be necessary, an accurate evaluation of the initiation that stands before you, because every disciple is a candidate for initiation. It may not be immediate, it may take a few lives, but a true disciple is heading for an expansion of consciousness and power and love that we call initiation. So the master knows exactly what it is for you or for me or for anyone, and he can share that, if he considers it to be necessary. With some of his students, he did share it. There was this student, his rays were Ray 2 Soul, Ray 6 Personality, Ray 1 Mind, Ray 1 Astral Body, Ray 7 Physical Body. I remember his name, but I don't remember right now his initials. But he was I mentioned him before, he was the group's sort of astrologer. He was very interested in astrology, and he received a letter from DK, you know, via Alice Bailey. He said, "You remind me of myself when I was preparing for the third initiation." He was a so-called friend of the Christ, which usually includes those on the wisdom line, or he was learning the arduous discipline of what it meant to be the so-called friend of the Christ. It's a technical term for those on the wisdom line who are approaching the great Lord. And DK basically let him know what he was preparing for. And there was another, you know, he's given hints in the letters about the initiation lying ahead, and sometimes he's been explicit. He told one man, and the only one among the 50 or 51, that you have failed to stand before the Christ, meaning that you are not even an initiate of the first degree, but you're heading in that direction, and we're protecting you for various reasons. To another man, he said, "You're not passing through the fourth initiation, as you may have thought. If you work wisely now, you can take the second initiation." And then he explained, you know, the difference and the kinds of experience. So what is the point? That to some people, the master will give the exact indication or the indication of the exact initiation that the disciple is preparing for. But others simply have to study what he said about the requirements for particular initiations, and then through acute self-observation, they can place themselves more or less in the right category. And at first, you know, one may become confused, but eventually, if you study carefully, you'll be able to more or less place yourself, which is probably the wisest thing to do, to attempt to do first, and not make a big deal about it either. You know, just basically, I stand at this point, I have these things to develop, and get on with the task of doing that. And as a basic reference, we could say that the great majority of DK students to whom he was writing letters through Alice Bailey, and who were pretty much the way we are, you know, there was not such a difference when you look at the lives they were leading and the lives that we lead. The basic position was somewhere between the first and second initiation. That was where the great majority found themselves. Almost everyone, except that one person, had taken the birth of the Christ in the heart. They were first degree initiates, but only a minority had taken the second degree. So in that long stretch of development, between the first and the second degree, you know, in the life of Jesus, it represents 30 lives compared to 3 lives following. In other words, 3 lives for the second, third, and fourth degree, and 30 lives between the birth and the baptism. So it's generally a long period, and that's where most of the students found themselves. They were accepted disciples, or he accepted them anyway. So it meant pretty much that they had gone beyond the halfway point between the first and second initiation. But for the time being, there is no exactitude in assessing exactly where we stand, but there are probabilities if one is very observant and honest with oneself. Manish.
Okay, I did put a link for more information regarding the PIP3 test and that it works best with PCs at the present.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
And there's no other written comments or questions and no hands raised at this point. From Yvonne just raised and then it went back down.
Well, I see a hand is there, but she, okay, raised hand, but that's the past tense, isn't it? So if it's disappeared, then
it's back up.
Oh, it's back up. Okay. Yvonne.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Yvonne.
Absolutely.
Okay. You had said that, we're talking about graduating our school. I did write something down here in the chat box. I don't know why you didn't see it, Michael Stacy. I don't know. There must be something I should do after that. After I write something, you have to click something or do something? Okay. That wasn't my question. My question was that you said that people who have the mental body too little developed or not developed, and people who have it too much developed don't, you know, make the cut, you know, the graduate or school and
Two-fifths, three-fifths, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't understand how, when you have it too much developed, I didn't understand that part. If you could,
because it's like a wall, you know, it shuts out the abstract minds, and it shuts out the influence of the spiritual triad. And he says the worst disaster that can befall a human being is to create out of the mental body, the lower mental body, an isolated vehicle. So, and basically, that's what the brothers of darkness have done. They have created an astonishing concrete mind, which prevents them somehow from following the path of sacrifice and selflessness. So it will be a barrier. As a matter of fact, DK says the reason that the new esoteric schools must emerge is the concrete mind is overdeveloped, the astral body is unstable, and the physical body is weak. And these new schools are supposed to do something to treat those undesirable conditions. So the concrete effect, or making the dense mind overly concrete and thus walling yourself off, he says, is one of the reasons for the ill-omened number 13, because it kind of creates a 13th center. You know how it is, we look at 12 creative hierarchies, and you know, page 34, 35 in esoteric astrology. And now, adding to that, we isolate the concrete mind and it makes for the number 13. And basically, it's a very dangerous situation in terms of treading the true path of initiation. Some other kind of path that veers off to the left can be trodden. And he says that the lords of materialism, they really have developed the concrete mind to such an extent that it's astonishing, okay? But it's a danger. So at a certain point, these people have to be taken to some other source or chain or globe or planetary logos in order to correct this imbalance. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Yvonne. I would say, you know, probably it wouldn't hurt for them to be exposed to Neptune or something, you know, or to Venus, something that would dissolve that concreteness that prevents them from entering the higher aspects of their nature. And as far as the people that just don't have it yet, they've got to have more development along the mental line. And Earth would no longer, after the judgment day, provide the right place for that.
And speaking of the judgment day, Chris writes, can you explain what's really happening at the judgment day?
Well, maybe I can't, but basically the only human beings remaining on the planet, which by that time may be considered a sacred planet, are those who are already on the path, spiritual path, and basically all the way up to the high initiations. So you have the whole range, but not dealing with the people who are not yet developed to the point where they can tread the path or are in danger of treading the wrong path through overdevelopment of the concrete mind. They are segregated and sent for re-education to other places. The planet Mars is one of them, I think. It's really called the separation of the sheep from the goats. And the sheep go to Mars, if I can look at it that way. And the goats are the initiates, even of low degree, and they remain with the planet for further development on a what probably at that point is going to be a sacred planet. So basically, it's a, DK describes it as kind of a war between the concrete mind and the higher mind. And he says, like nothing we've ever seen before. You know, if we think that we are involved in some kind of battle at the present time, that battle is going to be a tremendous one. So it's not that the judgment day comes in a quiet and easy manner. It's preceded by a great contest between those who are really on the spiritual path and those who are not on it for various reasons. They don't even want to be on it, some of them, and others just need more development. So, you know, that's probably as close as I can come. It's millions of years in the future, and we have right now kind of an anticipation of that judgment day, you know, just a kind of a few drops that are not the monsoon. That's what Master K.H. said. A few drops of rain are not a monsoon, but they presage it. They foretell it. And right now, we have on the earth a great division going on between those who are strictly personal and those who have begun to catch the idea of the spiritual path and want to tread it. And they will be in line with the first initiation of humanity. So something that's dividing the spiritual from the non-spiritual is going on right now, but it's like nothing compared to what will happen later at the judgment day, which will probably be in the fifth round on this particular chain. There's also another kind of greater round where the chains, as I've said, are like globes. But as far as I can tell, some millions of years ahead of us now, this judgment day will occur.
And I see no hands raised and no other questions or comments in the chat box.
Okay, friends. I guess the idea behind this whole thing is that we are responsible for bringing more love into our life, more intelligent love. And if we look for the planet of intelligent love, it's going to be Venus. And if we look for who it is that represents that kind of Venusian energy, it's going to be the solar angels, or angel of the presence, or the kind of Manasa devas from Venus. So every one of us, except, you know, for the very, very newly individualized human beings on our planet, we have a solar angel associated with us. And in the contact with that solar angel and in understanding its presence and in trying to express its energy, we are on our way to expressing the intelligent love which is required of us, required of our planetary logos, and even required of our solar logos at this time, as it moves towards an initiation in which for man, Venus is very prominent, namely the third initiation. Now, it's not going to be Venus per se for the solar logos. It's going to be his own solar angel of a much greater capacity and of which our present solar angels are simply a part, kind of an emanation. But that Venus vibration is what we have to get into our way of being. It's, for the moment, a higher fifth ray vibration that is suffused with love. And if you go to Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1, somewhere in the 60s there, you're going to see some beautiful phrases concerning the reason that the fifth ray could be called the Rose of God. It's going to be a fifth ray that is not the mechanical type, not the inventive type, it's going to be the fifth ray that has to do with the luminosity and the glorification of the soul vehicle and of the presence of the soul in man. So read those, start out around page 60, you'll find it there. It'll be the names of the fifth ray Lord. Or tune in with us next year when we have our conference, because it's going to be focused on the fifth ray, and I always do a presentation on the names of the ray lords. At least recently I do that, because I think it's very orienting. DK said, why am I giving you all this? So that maybe you're going to recognize yourself in these names that have been given for the ray lord. Okay, so that's it, huh? And we close then. We'll get into the will solar system a bit the next time we have our meeting on cosmic fire in depth, which is just another way of saying the ageless wisdom in depth. What we're doing right now is studying the psychological key to the secret doctrine. That's what he calls that book, Cosmic Fire. And I, of course, for all of us, it's a stretch, to get ourselves to think in these terms. But if we persist, we will certainly benefit. Okay. So, a great invocation.
Michael?
Michael.
Would you like to change your screen share?
Hey, you know, it's like ping pong with you. You won that round. Okay. I just wonder if I can ever remember these changes.
And the answer is yes, you can.
Okay, well, I'm encouraged. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Thank you. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve.
from the center, which we call the race of men, that the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, thank you, everyone, and we'll see at least some of you tomorrow morning. We'll be working on the Soul of Nations. It'll be a broadcast from our usual YouTube broadcasting channel. Meanwhile, from all the communications team, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you before long. Bye-bye.